Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
You know, who does God consider great in his kingdom? I mean, because you have some people that when they get tested, and everybody's going to be tested, all their works are going to be tested, that whatever's not of God will just burn up, mm-hmm. but they'll make it. Then you have other people whose work is good and it won't burn up and it will last. Everything will be tested by the fires. And the thing is that, well, I guess it would be those who are greatest in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And I think about of all the things that, you know, Jesus, the Son of God, who did nothing and said nothing unless his Father, now our Father, through him, said. So this is God sending his Son, living amongst us, who begins his ministry after being baptized by John the Baptist, goes through his time of testing, comes out, chooses his disciples, and then sits on the side of a mountain and begins to speak the words of the Father to us, begin to explain God to us, begin to explain, we call it, he had a sermon on the edge of this mountain. So you hear people say it's a sermon on the mount. What they're saying is, you know, God sat down and had a conversation with us through his Son. Mm-hmm. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And one thing he talks about the greatest, who is the least and the greatest in the kingdom of God. And the question is, what's your place? What place do you want to have? In Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 17 through 20, he talks about this. Jesus is speaking to us and speaking to them at the time. And he says, don't think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. How many people just say, oh, just throw that all out. You don't need that. And that's where all these false doctrines mm-hmm. come from. He says, don't even think that I've come to destroy you. He says, I have not come to abolish or do away with them, but to fulfill them. He is the fulfillment of the word. If you throw out any part of the word of God, you're throwing out your understanding of Jesus Christ and what he fulfilled. And he goes on to say, he says, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappears, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. What does that mean? The whole word of God, every bit of the word of God, is important to us, and we need to apply it to our life. And this is powerful, as Jesus is telling us everything written in the Word of God will be accomplished, which is a revelation. When you even look at Revelation, you think, wow, the awesomeness of God and a new heaven and a new earth and coming back ruling and reigning with Christ. And then he says this, and he talks about, okay, this is my kingdom. And he says, and anyone who breaks one of the least of these commands, mm-hmm. you think about it, okay, so, man and woman who's teaching that these things should not even be anymore, and he's going, listen, he's saying, you're going to be judged on how you respond to them. Mm. He says, anyone who breaks, how can I break it, Jesus? Didn't you fulfill it so there's no expectations of, you know, I'm just like, I just said a prayer, isn't that what? And he says, and anyone who breaks one of the least of these commands, think about that. Interesting. I mean, that hopefully we get a chance to talk about that in this program today, because people categorize sin. They go, this is a small sin. This is a big sin. Their sin is a big sin. My sin is a small sin. Therefore, I'm going to talk bad about their sin, but my sin's so small, it's not even relevant in the context of things. And he says, anyone who breaks one of the least of these sins, and of course, what the Word of God says, if you break one, you broke them all. People are going to be really surprised. They're going to get in hell and say, what? Anyway, so anyone who breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches, and this is the fault, and teaches others to do the same. And think about that. You have people breaking them. Then you have people teaching people it's okay to break them. Mm-hmm. And then he says, we'll be the least in the kingdom of heaven. So you're thinking, oh, well, cool. You know, I'm still going to get into heaven. Then doesn't matter. That's what people begin to teach. Like, oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. You just, you know, you might have a studio apartment, not a mansion or something. But then he goes on to say right here, but it's a conjunction that just nullifies what you just heard right there in the context of it. But whoever practices and teaches these commands, so we got to practice them and do them. You want to be a hearer. You don't want to be a do-doer. You don't want to be a who-doer. You know, right. You are who you what you do. You want to be a hear-doer. You hear God and you do it. Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be the great, will be called great in the kingdom of God. So you'll be called great. So what does that mean? It means like, move out of the 81 percentile, actually the 97%, but the 81% of the not reading and begin to reading, begin reading, and start doing like the 3% of the 19% who are actually applying it to their life and practice what you're preaching. Mm-hmm. And then once you understand it, you begin to teach other people about it. And it's like, yo, dude, you're great in the kingdom of God. You have to understand that doesn't mean you're great in the kingdom of darkness. You're probably hated. You're obviously hated and want to be done away with. Mm-hmm. And he wants to do away with you. But in the kingdom of God, you're considered great. But Matthew, Jesus goes on to say, Matthew 28, 19 through 20, Jesus tells us plainly, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, which means not only do we need to know God's word and hide God's word in our heart, but we need to teach other people God's ways. People say, well, these people, they don't even know anything about God. It's like, well, have you ever taught anybody anything? Why are you blaming your disobedience on their disobedience? How are they going to know unless someone teaches them, right? Mm-hmm. Someone tells them, God's looking for you to stand in the gap and go teach them something. Not just something, but his teachings. Then he tells us in John 8, 31 to 32, Jesus plainly tells us, saying, if you hold to my teachings, then you're really my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So freedom comes in the context that when you are a great person in the kingdom of God, which means you hide God's word, you teach God's word, you practice God's word, and other people find God because you do this, then you're considered great. But they get set free because they become disciples of Jesus. And the grace that has been extended to those who believe is a grace to become Jesus' disciple, not a grace to sin. Not a grace of leniency. It's an empowerment by God to be able to walk righteously before God. And when we do err or make a mistake unwillingly and not desiring it, God forgives us for that. But he goes on to say, in regards to people say, well, you know, I got it. So I won't have a condo. I'll just have a studio apartment or something. Right. I'll just be glad to be there.
Right.
It's like, well, you're saying you're right. Come on. So this is what Jesus says here in Matthew 5:20. Jesus plainly tells us here, for I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven.
Wow.
Not only will you be considered least, you won't even have access. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Not somebody who's not even in the kingdom of God, right?
Right.
This is what he says. He says, for I tell you, unless your righteousness, which means hiding God's word in your heart, reading it, you know, doing it, practicing it, and teaching others, obviously. He said, I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's heaven, guys. That's heaven. No, you're not saved by works, but understand if you are saved, you desire to obey God. There's a desire inside of you. You're not achieving some goal. You're operating on a way of life of love for God. And so the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, he talks about it in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 4. Jesus gives us more dimensions to understanding of being great in the kingdom of God. Jesus' disciples asked him this. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? I mean, the disciples who didn't even realize that Jesus, somebody touched him and got healed around him. Mm-hmm. They're going like, they're already, I want to be great. You know, I want to be great.
All right.
So Jesus blows their mind, I'm sure, and calls these little children all around him and had him stand amongst him. And he said to this is what Jesus said to that answer. He said, I tell you the truth, unless you change, by the way, that's repentance. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Think about that. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's childlike faith. I mean, think about children. I mean, when children are young, they're not pacing the floor going, will there be any food today? And they don't even care if you have any money or not. They still want things and stuff.
And they'll still ask.
They'll still ask. It's amazing how that works. They don't go to bed at night going, oh, how is the political atmosphere? Will the king still be there? Will, you know, Congress make it? What's going on? I mean, you think about the simplicity. You think about food and clothing. I mean, they're not, their faith is so strong, they can have everything they want with their clothing, but they'll have faith for a brand name stuff or another color of something. And it's like, man, their faith is strong. They just keep asking, not even, they just believe that this confidence. And for, you just name it. I mean, they don't pace back and forth in front of the pantry and just go, I'm just concerned. Will this be here tomorrow? They just suck it dry, expecting it's going to be there tomorrow, right? Isn't that right?
Amen.
That's right. I had teenagers, they just kind of stand and stare at food and just kind of sucks up into them. But they're humble. They're humble as children in regards to those components. As children, love, trust, and depend on their parents, and just trust that their parents will take care of that. Jesus is saying you need to love and trust God and understand that he's going to take care of that. He tells us in Matthew chapter 6, he said, listen, look at the lilies of the field. Look at the grass of the field. Look at Solomon in all of his splendor. He said, don't you know that I'm going to take care of you? And that's that confidence. That's that confidence that you have in God. And we have to be like that with God. If God says it, somebody says, I can't believe you're just making these demands on God. It's not demands. It's just an expectation that he's not a man that he lies or a son of man that he changes his mind. If he said he forgave me, he forgave me. If he said he'll use me, he'll use me. If he said he'll heal you, he'll heal you. If he said he'll deliver you, he'll deliver you. If he said I got the authority to do this or that, then I got the authority to do this and that. If he says that the greatest of the kingdom of God is those who actually become like a child, humble ourselves, and not come like a, don't be a childish, but become like a child who just trust their parent. I mean, think about it. I was holding my grandson the other day, just brand spanking new. And wasn't one thought at all that he could just wiggle all over the place and he could have easily just come out of your hands. But he didn't have any concerns at all. He just was just had a built-in confidence that he can do whatever he wants to. And you hold this little, you know, small child, you know, weeks old, a week old, if that, and stretched and moved and did all those kind of different things. And it's like, look how confident, you know, this child is, and he can just exist and have this joy in life. And that's how we're supposed to be, just trusting God to be able to do what he says he's going to do. He says, I know what you have need of before you even ask. Listen, not even a bird falls from the sky without me saying fault now. I even not only know the numbers of hair on your head, but each of them have a number. Listen, I got your back. Trust me. Trust me, and you will be considered greatest in my kingdom.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Is religion banned in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
The question was, did I send trainees on a training trip for a couple of weeks, and they are typically put together with roommates in hotels. I've had a trainee who, she likes to read her Bible and have quiet meditation time, and she's concerned that having a roommate would interfere with that.
When you have a situation like this, it depends on your policy. If the policy is for economic reasons that you have the employees have roommates, then she should have a roommate also, and she certainly can go to a quiet place in the hotel and study the Bible. You don't want to do anything to interfere with her sincerely held religious beliefs or Bible study or times of prayer. You should try to accommodate that, obviously. But I don't think you have to exclude your general policy of having roommates if that's the company's policy. As long as it's equally enforced, there should be no problem.
For more information about your rights in the workplace, visit us on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
That's right. We have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch Newsletter now.
Oh my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN Radio program?
You know I have.
Oh man, such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFN TV.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, guys, of all the things that Jesus could pray for, the disciples could ask Jesus to help them with, they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. I mean, of all the things they could have asked the Lord, they said, teach us to pray. And the Bible tells us that oftentimes, you know, Jesus was early seeking God and on, you know, by himself. Mm-hmm. And they had to be looking at Jesus's prayer life. They had to be looking at, you know, what the Lord was doing and with his time. I mean, they saw the signs and the wonders. They saw the miracles. They saw the multitudes. They saw Jesus teaching with power and authority. But they also saw how Jesus would be by himself in the morning in prayer. So much so, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Matthew 18:18. It says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You know, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, but he also gave them and gives us today authority. The authority we have as a believer, as a son and daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is our Savior, we have the ability to pray, and we have the authority in Jesus' name. And in Luke 10:19, he says, I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and no thing will harm you. And so I think oftentimes we can forget that God has given us authority authority to pray, authority to transact kingdom business. And you look at what was happening in Acts. I mean, this is like the first moments of the church being recorded. Mm-hmm. And it's so beautiful to see what they did with what the Lord gave them. I mean, God, you know, Jesus poured into them for 3 years. And now they were walking out everything that he had taught them, and they were obeying his word. But we find that in Acts 12, verse 1, it says, it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. Now think about that. Here is this wicked Herod.
Yeah.
He is arresting the church. And with all the intention now of persecuting and doing them harm. Now, get this. In the second verse, he says, he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. So already, I mean, these are not empty threats, but we already know that he had James already put to death. This was a really serious thing that was going on.
Yeah.
And this is not good. And so he also saw that it pleased the Jews, so he proceeded to seize Peter also. Now, think about this. I mean, here's a church being persecuted. Things are happening. And sometimes, you know, people wonder how come bad things happen. It's like, listen, in life you're going to have good stuff. There's going to be some bad stuff. And don't forget that the enemy is loose on the earth today. His plan is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And so God wants us. God has equipped us. He's given us the ability to pray. He's given us the ability to touch heaven. He's given us the ability to bind on earth, to loose, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to you know, transact kingdom business. And so God allows us to do this. And you ask, you know, why did God allow this? Well, you know, God has given the earth to us for man to rule. Mm-hmm. He's given it to us to rule. You know, the Lord oftentimes will not make a decision for us. He requires that we invite him into our affairs, that we invite the Lord into what's going on. He doesn't control us, right? He will not act oftentimes in an area that he has already empowered us to do. He's already given us the authority. He's already given us the ability to pray. And he wants us to exercise that authority that he has given us. He wants us to exercise it. He doesn't want us to become spiritually lazy.
All right.
Right? But he wants us to go in the place of battle, in the place of prayer, and to deal with the enemy. Because the enemy, like we said earlier, wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And what we're talking about is the authority of the believer. You know, all authority was established with God. And if you look back at the Bible, and you look in the Bible, that God gave that authority over to Adam, right? God gave that authority to Adam, and Adam lost that authority. He lost the keys when he fell into sin because of Satan, him and Eve fell into sin. So God had the authority. He gave the keys over to Adam. Now, mm-hmm. Now Adam lost the keys to Satan, and Jesus, who's the second Adam, had to come to restore all things, right, and to regain the keys that the enemy stole. And God gives us that authority today.
That's right.
He gives us that authority today. And so we need to be vigilant in prayer. So in verse 4, Peter was arrested. He's put into prison, and he's guarded by 16 guards. And he's locked up in chains.
Oh, wow.
And Herod intended to bring him to public trial after the Passover. So Peter's in trouble. He already knows that James was already killed by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
And here there's 16 guards, you know, guarding over Peter. But verse 5, I love this verse. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him.
That's right.
But the church, my goodness, there's nothing like the praying church, there's nothing like when believers get together and they say, I am going to pray for you. And they mean it, and they do it, and God answers as a result. The church was praying. They were operating in authority, and they were not going to let Peter go down.
That's right.
They were praying. Mm-hmm. The power of prayer, the authority of the Lord, the authority of the believer. I mean, the word tells us that we've been given authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all, not some, all the power of the enemy, and nothing, no thing will harm you.
Mm-hmm.
And so they prayed. So they prayed, but in verse 7, this is what happened. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist.
Mm.
You're talking about divine intervention. You're talking about the supernatural. You're talking about prayer that released angels, right? Mm. An angel to actually escort Peter outside of this prison. And so he was kind of a little bit confused. He didn't know what was going on, Peter, but he just followed.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out in the middle of the road, and this is Peter's confession. This is what Peter says. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. So here you see the church was praying. Peter gets free,
mm-hmm,
supernaturally. This is divine.
Yeah.
Supernaturally. And so he, in verse 12, he begins to walk to Mary's house, right? The mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and where they were praying. Now, in verse 13, it says, Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter's at the door. Peter's
it's
at the door.
Shock.
You know, and of course, this, they encouraged me, you know. You look at the book of Acts, you see all these signs and wonders, and you think these were holy people. They were so perfect.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. They, you know, these guys walked with Jesus, you know. They're human just like all of us,
mm,
you know. And what was their response? This great prayer service that was happening there, what was their response? They said, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. What are you talking about? Now you're praying that God would touch Peter, that God would intervene,
right,
that God would set Peter free, right?
Makes you wonder, were they praying with faith or just out of their heads? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know how it is. It's just praying, you know, and this is the thing when you're praying that sometimes you try to pray your will or how you think it's going
to happen. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of plan it out. You just want to pray, God, your will be done, and let God do what he's going to do. Don't project on how it's going to happen. And
mm-hmm,
I think that's the temptation we all have to say, well, Lord, I just pray, and we try to pray with some reasoning and some logic according to us, but we don't pray, God, you lead, I follow.
Mm-hmm.
You lead, I follow, and I'm not even going to begin to tell you what the steps are. I'm just going to go ahead and follow. And I believe it's probably the temptation that they probably faced in this moment because they were shocked that she said, get you out of your mind. So when she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. It can't be Peter.
Can't be
Peter. Shh, stop praying. Stop praying. Peter is at the door. No, he's not there. Verse 16, but Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord brought him out of prison. I mean, can you imagine the roar? Shh, let me inside here.
Right, right.
And he testified on how they, moving in authority, praying, God heard their prayer. Let me tell you something. The power of a praying church, the power of the believer that knows that they have been given authority by God, and they pray in faith, watch and see what happens. Watch and see what happens. I'm telling you that this encourages us to know that God, you know, when we obey God, you know, He partners with us. He partners with us when we pray according to His will. And I'm just so encouraged by that because it's the authority that the Lord has given us. And when we execute that authority, when we function in the purpose that God's given us, then things happen.
That's right.
On earth as it is in heaven. And can you imagine the testimonies that came after that? All of a sudden, he was banging on the door, and it was Peter. We told Rhoda she was out of her mind. We told her, I don't know what happened. But God set Peter free. The authority of the believer.
The $50 Eye Guide, where they have everything from Rex to Specs. If you want to visit them today, they're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 Eye Guide today so you can see. Oh my goodness, aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I like to a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcasts. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years? Buy the tape. We're giving it to you.
It's yours.
Yes. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel, and we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey.
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment.
Ooh,
barbecue.
A taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I was sitting there having her food. I could tell you. This man came in, he's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite? Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good. That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Off of Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul.
It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening. A third great awakening in America, but this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth, we won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Now think about it. The regrets of living life safe. And that's where America's been. America's been living life safe in the last 60 years, probably, in the 50s, mm-hmm. is when everybody really started focusing on, just getting your house and your
white picket fence,
your job, white picket fence, your wife and your three or four kids, and you go to your job, you come home, you go to your job and you come home. But it's gotten, and the thing about the 50s and the 60s, or pretty much the 50s, is people who didn't know God then feared God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Today, people who say they know him don't fear him. And, you know, it's just amazing that the times and the seasons that have changed. And it's become about, you know, the job and the career and the property. And they have, you know, the programs. And I see these programs on television where they show next house after the next house after the next house, the next house, the next house. And it's like, what does the world really think of Americans?
Yeah.
You know, the right. ones that are, and obviously they're probably not getting that channel, but you're just thinking, my goodness, how embarrassing we're paying. Mm-hmm. You know, $4 million for the next one because this one didn't have the right color for us or something. And this is amazing. But think about it. You know, the regret of living life safe. As believers, we're called to live by faith. Faith is what you're, it's being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's about living in the now. Now faith is. That's what we're called to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, we're called to take risks in the cultures that we live in, to speak in a way in the culture that we live in that's very risky because it's against the culture normally of what's going on as we begin to share the things of God. We're called to give so that we have. You know, we're called to make God known in all the earth through his son, Jesus Christ. We're risking persecution, pain, loss of things and stuff and freedom. But listen, there's no, who's risking that? Who's stepping out? Who's stepping out in the church? Christians. I'm talking about Christians here. We know some ones that are stepping out that aren't Christians. Like, my goodness, if the Christians could step out like that.
That's right.
You know, are we willing? And that's what we're called to do. It's not like some optional thing. And you're living your life for regret if you're not. Because you're going to stand alone before God and the throne of God, the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to say, what did you do with your life? Well, I've gathered things and stuff. And I didn't respond to the orphan. I didn't respond to the homeless. I didn't respond to the lost people that I could have told them about you. And we're going to be held accountable for that. Think about it. 97, the Christians in America, for example, according to George Barna, you know, we're not willing to be inconvenienced even with our own children because statistically that the reason why abortions happen is because that child's going to cost me to work harder. It's going to, you know, we already have enough kids and the inconvenience of self or what people will think of me or all those different things that happen. Statistically, it's not just the world getting abortions. And now you're seeing the numbers come down for the actual doctor abortion. But if you back up a little bit and look at the day after pill or Plan B pill, the numbers are skyrocketed.
Yeah,
the numbers are skyrocketed. And the selfish aspect of it is, and then 97% of the regular church attenders, according to George Bonner, are robbing from God. Because not willing to take a risk to trust God to give him, he gives us everything and you can't honor him with his tithes and offerings out of that. It's like, we're not in the, you know, we're called, living life safe will not end well at the throne of God. Because we're called to trust God, not trust ourselves and trust what we do. Even though God blesses the work of our hands and he doesn't mind us having things as long as things don't have us. But listen, if those things have us and God doesn't have us, it's not going to be well. Mm-hmm. He's concerned about the orphan. He's concerned about the child in sex trade. He's concerned about the poor and the hungry and the homeless. He's concerned about that person that you have not even yet witnessed to and told them about this God that you profess to know. He wants them to know. He loves them. He loves mankind. He died for all mankind. And we're going to have to answer for that. You know, versus, you know, we're called to live by faith, not by sight. Jesus said, they'll hate you. They hated me. They'll hate you. And that's a risk. A lot of people aren't willing to take that risk to not be liked by people as they stand up for God. Or being made to look foolish, you know. And think about it. Paul talked about of I'm always last of the procession of faith, basically where the dung of the animals that are in the parade are left behind. I'm locked up in prison, falsely accused. Everybody, including Jesus, who stood up for God, were treated poorly in this world and lost things and lost reputation and all these different things. And so we're called to be risk takers. The day that we're in right now, and the thing about it is we're in a culture that says that's okay. But God says, no, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to step out. It's more than believing God for a better car. Right. It's more than, you know, believing God for your next house payment. It's about believing God for human beings, people that are lost, that don't know him, and you telling them about him. It's about you loving people and stepping out at your workplace and everywhere you are in your life for God, not being ashamed of him before men so he won't be ashamed of you before the Father. Listen, it's time to be a risk taker. Is this thing about living a safe life? And what you're seeing is 401ks crashed, and they're about to crash again because all these people who lived their life and didn't say, hey, I got it all figured out. I'm going to work my days, and I'm going to retire, and I got my pension. You know, I think it's like 47 states, according to Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, has pensions due now that they don't have any money to pay them. Mm. And it's all coming to a head. It's all coming to a head. And the only thing that's coming to a head is the decision that you failed to make early on in your life. You need to make it now, which is making Jesus the Lord of your life,
right?
Not your pension, not your retirement. Understand that just like, you know, the Lord told you, Pat, that enjoy it for a season because nothing's secure.
Right.
You know, it comes and it goes. And we're called to be risk takers. You're called to say, you know, God may speak to you and say, listen, go to China. He may tell you, you know, go to another city and begin to plant a church. He may call you to begin to just shake your own city that you're at. But quite often, he's calling you to a different city because even Jesus in his home city, it was real difficult for him to minister in his home city in Nazareth. And he's Jesus.
Right.
The best thing to do is just ignore Nazareth and keep on ministering.
And move on.
And move on. Yeah. But understanding that, that's who we're called to be. We're called to be risk takers. And the regret of living a safe life is dread at the throne room of God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to seize, you know, as Steve Hill said, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. And this is the opportunity that we have while we're still alive, while we still have a chance to. We need to not live a safe life, but be willing to do everything that we can do. You know, regret is a horrible thing because when it's all said and done, you don't want to live like, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's over. It's done with. And we can learn from that. We can say, listen, you know what? I don't want to have those regrets on the back end. I want to do all that I can in the strength that I have for God because I'm going to see him one day and I want to have something to offer him. I want my life to count. I want my life to make a difference. You only have one. You only have one life.
Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for?
That's right.
That's what it's going to boil down to. Yeah, did my son die for that?
Yeah.
For a pension plan? For a larger house?
Mm-hmm.
Man, what was it? What was the thing that he died for? And that's where we are right now. It's going to require men and women to rise up. You think about this pastor right now that's in jail for planting churches in Iran, who are meeting in houses, like a network there, that he's in jail facing a life sentence. I mean, how beautiful is his reward for being willing to go into Iran
Right.
That they consider you get a death penalty for preaching Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. What are we doing for God?
Right.
How is our life a sweet fragrance to God?
Right.
And fragrances come by denying ourselves, picking up our cross and following the Lord. He says, you know, in view of God's mercy, offer your body, your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship.
We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And like slap your mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, it's not something you actually do.
Well, actually.
What?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I found it in my cupboard the other night. I was like, where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? I don't. It sounds like slap your mama. You know, why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
slap your mama. We'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slapped food. Your mother?
Well, no, food, something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
I never slapped her.
You said, but it's a southern way of doing things.
That's a southern saying. That's what saying.
You
do. Oh, saying. Saying.
Shoo. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah, my mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, I said it to Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Christmas
ribs,
actually.
He's from Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. And they don't have, apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste like?
It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot, hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Oh, wasabi.
Oh,
wasabi.
Whoa, I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom he seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that W O Zabi. So it's hotter than
wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
Oh, we don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, Second Street, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah. I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well,
it's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, Slap Your Mama. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's a very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Let's pick up where we left off.
Think about that. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to say, here's my body, Lord. Use me as you will. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. Here we are.
Right.
But that's not that way. I mean, right now, it's not that way. So many other things are being taught right now. And they're false teachings. If it doesn't line up with, this is what a false teaching is. That might not make sense to you when you hear that. If Jesus says left in his word and somebody's preaching right, or if Jesus says yes in his word and somebody else is saying, well, it used to be yes, but now it's no.
Yeah.
Because things are changing. That's a false teaching. It's just the word of God is in its original form is without error.
Yeah.
Without error. And it's powerful as living, it's active than a sharper than a double-edged sword. And the world cannot shake it because it's so powerful because God is with it. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about that. So this is the day to really just shake ourselves because deception, the word deceive means what we think we're doing is right when we're wrong. Uh-huh. And so deception is just blanketing America right now. And deception is just in the church. You see people just deceived and saying, you know, everything's okay, everything's fine, when everything they're doing and everything that they're saying and how they're living is totally different than what God would say and expect.
Yeah. Well, God allowed us to be born for his purposes, not for our own. The Bible says that he knit us in our mother's womb. And so it's not so that we can acquire more and more and more, but it's to say, God, you know, you created me for a purpose. What do you want me to do with this one life? I only have one.
Right.
And we have that chance to do something.
And it's like I was saying that when you're 10 years old, if your life's moving slow, the M will never get you like 10 miles an hour. You're 10 years old.
Are we there yet?
Are you there yet? Right. Yeah. I remember looking at the clock in school going, that's the slowest moving second hand I've ever seen in my life. Then, you know, you're 25 years old, and now your life is moving at 25 miles an hour towards the end of your life.
Right.
And then you reach 40 years old. Now you're driving at 40 miles an hour, and you realize, listen, this thing's going to end. And how am I going to answer for this? How am I going to answer for this? And you look at even, I don't want to speak, you know, we have a lot of time about it, but if even the elderly in our own nation, in our church, you know, what are you living passionately for God? Are you setting the example for those that are coming after you? Most all are living for ourselves. We've got to say, you know what? We've got to begin. We're going to have to answer for this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because at 50, that's 50 miles an hour. Think about it.
Yeah.
It's ending. And we're going to answer for it. I want to encourage you. So many resources available at VFNTV.com on the VFN Torch and also VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Maybe that's for you.
In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. You Scrub a Pup in Mary Esther, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Talking about the app, I love the app. You need to go to Google Play Store or your Apple Store or your Windows Store, wherever you...
That's right.
Listen, across all the platforms, we have an app for you. And it's the VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio app. You can continue to take VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio program on the go. We have podcasts for you that it downloads. Just it get right into your phone.
Just automatically.
Automatically. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was having a conversation last night with my sister, and she was telling me that a friend is going to Japan for the military, mm-hmm. and she was sharing with her all the things that you know have been discussed on VFN TV and the Daily mm-hmm. VFN Radio program, and how she was so encouraged, and she's like, well, she has a 15-hour flight. And she can listen to. I'm like, yes.
Oh, wow.
Tell her to get on the podcast. It will download right into her iPhone. It's right there. And she'll listen to it. Because you don't have any internet in Sky. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-uh.
And you can just listen and go. She's like, oh my goodness, that's awesome.
You know, you talking about that, John, reminds me of an encounter that I had. There's a lady that I had met, and she travels so much. She travels from Miami. She's all over Florida, basically all up and down the coast. And we ended up just striking up a conversation about the Lord, and she was just sharing about how God's been speaking to her. Mm-hmm. And we just started talking about the radio program. And she was just like, what? And just really encouraged and intrigued, and we started talking about it.
VFN TV?
Yeah, the VFN radio program. And I looked down, and she had her purse, and then she had, obviously, like a cover or something for her iPad. And I said, is this your iPad? She says, yeah. And she just very, very, just opened up her app. I said, can I look at it real quick? She says, yeah. So I opened it up, went online and went to, the radio page. And mm-hmm. then I went to the home, like the app, and I just downloaded the app for, put it right on her home screen. I says, here you go. And I showed her on my phone, showed her on the iPad. She ended up sending me this was probably like a month ago.
Now, where does she work now? She works for
a hospital.
Okay.
But she travels and she works for, I don't even know. She works for multiple hospitals.
Right.
And she ended up sending me a text and she says, thank you so much for sharing me that app. I was up all night listening to segment after segment after segment, and I am so encouraged.
Wow, so you shared with her VFN, the VFN TV and the Daily VFN radio app.
Yeah, just downloaded it right there.
Wow, isn't that encouraging?
Yeah.
We're hearing testimonies like this over and over and over again, and it really encourages us because we're here for you. We're here to keep the conversation light and to, by the grace of God, bring biblical perspective to the things that are happening all around the world and to share wisdom moments and to share what God has been speaking to us prophetically about the coming days. And we're excited, truly excited every day to have this conversation with you as we're abiding and seeking God and to be here with you. So this is beautiful.